Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Talking Show on K-Chung Radio.
Chinatown's only micro-broadcasting radio station.
My name is Steve Cato, and I'm here, as usual, with Nicholas Miller.
Yeah, usually we're here together.
That's right, Nicholas. The holidays can be a wild time of year, affecting even those who are prone to constancy, like Nicholas and I.
Yeah, well, one is only thought of as being prone to constancy when they keep up their end of the bargain. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you could use another word. You could even say that they're flaky. You could say that... Flaky, I'll say it one more time, to really get it in there. You know, when somebody, instead of showing up to their obligation, gets eggnogged, as we've been calling it, I wouldn't say constancy. I would maybe say constipation. Yeah, I think that's what I'd say. Speaking of constipation, how's that stomach of yours feeling, Steve, after you were so thoroughly eggnogged?
Well, I've been doing the cleansings, you know, like the cleansing teas with the dandelion root and all that in it, having the kombucha. I should be back to normal in no time. Thanks for asking. Now, my system isn't the only thing that's been a little screwed up lately. The other thing that's gone a little pear-shaped around here on The Talking Show has to do with Henry Rollins. Now, since we started the show, Henry Rollins has been itching to get on the air, and we've been of differing minds about it. We've not been 100% eager, let's say, and a few weeks ago, we asked Henry if he would be on the show, and then he stood us up, at which point we were fortunate to have former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger drop by instead.
Yeah. Didn't you get sloshed on that show, too? You know, I'm beginning to see a different constancy here than the one you mentioned earlier.
That's right. Okay. And so today, to finish this season of The Talking Show, to bring The Talking Show to a rousing New Year's timed finale, although a little late for New Year's itself, but to ring in the new year of The Talking Show, Henry Rollins promised us he would show up. And this time he did, sort of, but the problem really is that it's not Henry Rollins. He looks a lot like Henry Rollins, and for you out in Radioland, he sounds a lot like Henry Rollins. But it seems like maybe we were not actually initially contacted by Henry Rollins in the first place. It seems like we might have been contacted by this extremely talented Henry Rollins impersonator. And in fact, I'm afraid to say some of that confusion is definitely resting on my shoulders, because I'm not a very careful reader. I skim a lot when I read, because I have to read an awful lot for my job as a contemporary artist. It's a heavy reading position. Every quarter, an issue of October comes out, you know, things like that just keep happening and happening, and you have to keep reading these things. Otherwise, you know, you're ill informed. An issue of Art Forum comes out every 10 times a year. You know, I'm not made of time. I got to read a lot of stuff. And so when I was reading these emails and stuff from this purported Henry Rollins, I neglected to notice that it actually is Henry Rollins, who has been writing to us, not Henry Rollins, Henry Rollins. And Henry Rollins is from his MySpace page, Los Angeles's premier Henry Rollins impersonator. So,
you know, I must say that's an easier mistake than most people are probably willing to give you, Steve, because you remember a while back, I'd say maybe 8 years ago, there was that email going around where there was a string of words and they were all colors. And each of these words was in a different font, and those fonts had different colors. So say, for example, the word red would be typed, but then the font color of the word red would be blue. And you'd really have a hard time reading it because you'd see the blue, but the word red, and then your mind would get really, really quite confused. And then there was a similar email that came out around the same time, one of those kind of chain emails that everyone sends to each other. And they would switch the kind of middle two letters of a word, and your brain would be able to reorganize the word and get it right based on context, kind of like they would switch the P and the R in airplane to read aprain. But you would read the sentence and you would think, oh, the pilot took control of the airplane. And you wouldn't think the pilot took control of the aprain. But you should probably just introduce the guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, probably really globally speaking, the only Henry Rollins impersonator, Henry Rollins, here on The Talking Show.
Oh God, they're turning your lights off now. Is this going to be videotaped?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I get kind of nervous in front of cameras. It's okay. I think you guys are doing a great job. Just keep it up. Keep up. Don't change. Just keep on being you. So when do I go on, man? When do I go on?
I don't know. What's your name?
My name's Henry. I'm the point man. I'm the first man.
You're the first. Henry Rollins?
Yeah, they wanted me on first, so I'm starting it off.
You are starting. Well, I don't know anything about organization or anything. So.
I don't know anything about organization either. A lot of good things get organized on.
He's so. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Follow it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. This is great. This is the greatest day of my life.
Shit. You are handy.
That's me.
That's you. What can I say about
you?
Go on.
I don't know. Just say he's an all right guy. You know, he doesn't smell that bad.
Okay.
He's some dude.
You are quite ready to go.
Huh?
You are quite ready to go.
Oh, sure, I'm ready to go. Just tell them not to come near me, they'll all be destroyed. Oh, shit. Hi. I don't know. Oh, okay.
Another human face again. I feel like I've been beheaded and cleaned like a trout ready for the skillet. I have no friends here. I have been in one place for 9 days now, and I can hardly remember how to breathe. Everyone here wants to bound and gag me. My arrows fall short of the sun. My words and gestures make me feel like a mute amputee. Everything is bad and out to take a bite. The phone rings. It's for me every time. Now I even hear it when it doesn't ring. I call someone that I want to talk to. The voice I hear sounds very different. I try to speak, but I'm losing my grasp of this language. Flesh falling away as I stand with the phone in my hand. The friend loses all blood, bone, and muscle. I'm left with a porcelain shell of the person in my heart. The next beat smashes the shell into a million pieces. My heart caves in a little, causing a slight pain, a slight freezing. The distance grows. My iceberg island sails steadily away from the mainland. Every time I turn around, the mainland becomes more distant, more blurred. The things that used to matter, the people, they all start to melt into an ooze that quickly vaporizes, leaving nothing, not a trace of why or when or who. I envy the lonesome coyote, walking alone under clear night sky, moon reflecting off its coat. The beast howls at the moon, full of pain and desire. My howl would be thin and hollow.
So here's a saying about talking with a fool. Sitting here in a cold room thinking about what a fool I was for thinking that I could have reasoned with a fool. He laughed at every word I said, rolled his eyes and smiled right through me. He said, "Can't you see? Can't you see? Who's the fool? Can't you see? Can you see? What are you staring at? Don't tell me, I already know. Don't ask me why, because if I told you the answer, that there is no answer, you would say, that's no answer at all. And you would be right, and you would be wrong. So, in order for you not to be in two bad places at once, I suggest you be on your way. And remember, you can't get there until you go." Don't you guys get tired of doing that shit? If you were really doing it right, all you would get is this muffled, sloshy sound of grabbing something that needs to be grabbed. A whole bunch. This next whole thing is about feeling alienation. Like when everything pushes you to the end of the earth, and you're like standing there on the end of the earth like that on your tippy toes, and it's crumbling, and like you wake up and everything you see wounds your eyes, and you just you try and talk, and you can't talk to people anymore because obviously you're not getting through, there's some kind of thing, and you wonder, fuck man, did I get the wrong planet? You can't translate anymore, and you feel the alienation. And after you feel it, you wish for another chance, like a new delivery. You wish you could get born again somewhere else, to maybe a discarded world, some place where it didn't hurt so much. It's like everyone you know shoveling dirt into your soul every single time you talk to them. You feel like you don't have anything. And imagine yourself standing on this island all by yourself. I spent an entire summer apart from existence. My life. I denied myself life in hopes that the fast might sharpen my vision. I needed desperately to understand. The summer beat the air like a blacksmith. Beat it into the shape of a woman. She rose off the pavement and flashed her fangs. Cruel summer. Through the keyhole of soul, I caught a glimpse of myself locked in the white-hot straitjacket of infinite isolation. I stood alone on a desert island.
I looked out over the water. I saw islands of starvation. They reached out with scaly hands to grab me up. I retreated into the jungle, took a few lifetimes of searching for light before I saw any at all. I crossed to the other side. I waded across a shallow, rancid inlet to the Island of Hope. I walked for miles on the Island of Hope. My legs grew tired, and then I realized that I could have walked forever on the Island of Hope. Suffocated and drained with every step, with every starving mile, I called in the airstrike. I incinerated the Island of Hope. Napalm is thorough. You know, smells like victory. And so you go away, and for some stupid reason, you try again to identify. And here's what happens when you go back again. I went to the city to let the rats run through my face, to feel the depletion. I lay like a tomb in the bottom of the cavern of love, feeling like a dead soldier, crawling towards the womb of death, reborn as dirt, coming down like fire rain, as pure as cinder, walking on twilight through frozen roads to the womb of death. I wiped my hands and spat and grinned and dreamt of annihilation and the beauty of pain and the sound they'll never hear. I took a train to forever and found myself in a land of madness. I was washed and drenched by a torrential rain that threatened to drown my soul. I nearly gave up to the flood. I wished for the iron will of the rat so I could survive. My will turned weak and cancerous. I found myself washed ashore on an island. I had reached the womb of death. I feel like being in nature. Get to feel like somebody pushed you out of the window and you fell into a bucket of black paint or something. You don't know which way to fall. You say, yeah. Who am I? Yeah. When am I? Sometimes you see something like some kind of sun coming out of the ocean, something that rivets your eye, and you start to feel okay with the alienation. You can take the alienation and become like an alienation machine, like an air conditioner radiating the alienation. I woke up one morning and found myself on a most lonesome trail. Came around from coming around and found myself in reality's jail. Found myself in reality's jail. I've got a place. I've got an island. I've got a hanging garden. I've got a place I can go. Don't come down here. Don't come in here. You put me on the outskirts of town and now you want in? No. Doesn't work like that. In the alienation, no Sears and Roebuck dreams. In the alienation, no credit is good. In the alienation, I am whole. I am complete. I am the full circle realized. Your world is a cold place. When I'm with you, I'm cold, alien. Your world's a bad trip. That's why I quit you. That's why I spat you out. That's why I quit you. And went upriver, into the desert, into the jungle, into the sun. I exist in alienation. But I'm not alone. I'm there with all of those who realize that paradise lies. in Athens, Georgia a few weeks ago at the Uptown Lounge. I was about to go up and do this. So I'm sitting in this booth, that bar thing, and I look over and then there's this guy. He looked about a whole decade older than everybody else in the place. They're mostly skinny college kids, you know, white boys. And this guy, he looked like a biker without the tattoos and stuff. He was big, had a beard, mustache, bandana strung over his head, and he had a stogie and a pitcher of beer and a glass, and he would just sit there and stare at everybody and just drink his beer. And you could tell, man, he didn't know anybody in this place. And so he's just sitting there and looking at him. And he starts to talk. Real quiet at first, he looks around all these people and he goes, "All of you are chicken shit. Y'all were never in Vietnam. I was in Vietnam, man. Yeah, man, I kill little girls, I kill little boys, I kill women, man. Yeah, I was in Vietnam and you weren't there, little chicken shit. You don't know, you don't know." And he started getting louder and louder, and finally he got up and he started yelling and stuff. And these two bouncer guys took him and dragged his ass out. And that's the last I saw of him. So I was talking about this guy when I was on stage and everything. And I was saying, "Of course none of these people were in Vietnam, soldier. They were all 6 years old when you were in the joint. What kind of an asshole are you? No one understands your napalm dream. You come from a different world now, soldier. No one understands you. You live on a different planet. And soldier boy, from somewhere, you must gather the intestinal fortitude to suffer your wounds, to suffer your wounds alone. If you're going to do it alone, do it right. Cry alone, drink alone, suffer alone. Suffer alone at home, at night. You hear all the sounds. Sucking sound. All the windows and doors of your house disappear. Glowing claws will take the hands of your clock. This night has no end. The sun is in an alley, stabbed and bleeding, and it's never coming up again. Get a mirror, and get some barium wire. So every time you open your eyes, you are forced to see the person that you are locked in with, to realize its prison. No one to show your scars. Do it. Then you'll realize that you don't need them to exist.
The bus driver who drove me from the bus terminal to the Delta flight ticketing desk at LA International Airport. He would announce the different airlines that the bus would stop at. He was great. He was speaking English, I think, but it wasn't always easy to understand. He sure added a new twist to those airline companies' names.
Next stop, Northwest Pacific, Eastern, the spring you'll be.
And something that sounded like Attila the Hun.
stringy, loopy sounds dangerous, but silly enough to be some fun. I can see the steward type zipping up and down the aisles on roller skates and remember the regulation safety precautions.
In the unlikely event of a lot of landing, I mean, we are flying to Arizona. And speaking of device, you should have seen the one that I picked up on Hollywood Boulevard yesterday. It's digital. Well, anyway, we're number 7 in line for the takeoff. The plane makes 1, and the 6th back, the pilot is presently down, and he makes 7. Then the pilot cuts in. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your captain, and I'm feeling good, and I'm going to burn up the motherfucking sky today. When you see that seatbelt sign go on, it's no bullshit. Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff. Oh yeah, a little quick thing, just imagine this. Rolling Stones live in Auschwitz. Mick Jagger comes in on a train, dropping rose petals on piles of dead bodies, while the band playing Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh, God.
There's this thing I wrote about my cock. Where's the
Canterbury
Tales? Is that one of the songs?
I have a little
bull cock. No, they got nasty way back then, too. They call it men and shit, don't you? My cock is a small, hideous monster. Don't, boys, don't you listen to this for girls, for them to understand why I'm this way. My cock is a small, hideous monster. Emphasis on small. That's why I stick it so deep inside. I don't want to see it, and I don't want you to see it. When I stick it into you, I don't have to think about it. Out of sight, out of mind. Besides, several parts of my brain is the only thing that hangs useless. I fuck to feel useful, to avoid guilt. My cock always wants to disappear. That's why it seeks you like a divining rod. It understands that it is a criminal and a loser. But it has a heart that strives to be cleansed. Guilt drives it insane. It seeks redemption in you. How? How can you deny its strive for salvation?
That's me trying to scam on some girl and you use some kind of holy rap.
You may not admit it, but of course you all want to go to heaven, girls, and to get there, you gotta talk to me. You can say some kind of rap like that. You know, I'm not popular in there, but I don't know. I found this
place
to be crass in any situation.
Favoured by the existentialists who are A1 credibility-wise in the flourishing capitals of the EEC, when he noticed that although its lips moved, his voice...
Hello, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. This is the worst one. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. A new wave sportscaster. So are you enjoying this, fellas?
Well, most of the time.
Because personally, I don't mean to sound like a snob or some kind of really uncool guy, but I think this is this guy is a total bore.
Well, he spoke too fast for most of our people in there.
Yes, well, he's talking pretty fast for my people too, and my people are me and the crab lice which are attached to my testicles right now.
Yeah, but it's just like, I can fall away from that as I have, but I don't know if other guys do fall inside the room.
Yes, I do think a lot of people are just sitting there and enjoying
the sounds.
Yes.
The sounds and just the voice, the quick talk, and just forget the whole thing. He just listened to the quick talk, and because he's going too fast,
he's going too fast for me. Mm-hmm.
This is the real thing I was going to do. That wasn't even written by me. Unless you liked it. This is for all the girls. This is so you can get hip and not take the shit anymore. It's called The Balls Are in Your Court. Ladies, you want equality. Of course you do. You're not fools. You weren't born yesterday. I know. I thought about this a lot, and I have a few ideas. If you want equality to men, it's not going to come to you in the mail or in your sleep. You're going to have to go out and take it. Grab hold of it. Wrench it out of their hairy-fisted grasp. Don't you realize that you have the advantage already? Men are weak. Men are pigs. They hang out in groups and point at your tits and asses and make stupid jokes. Girls, they are scared shitless. That's why Budweiser will never go out of business. They've got this big old log in their pants and they want to show it to you. They want to inflict it into you. They got between 2 and 7 inches on you and they use it like a magic wand, a baseball bat. And in the case of the Caucasian male, like a swizzle stick. What I'm getting to is this. They got it, you don't. Don't get mad, scared, or depressed. Get even. Go to the gunsmith's. Get a 357 Magnum with a long barrel. Load it. Put it in your bag. Go on with your life. Okay. It's just an ordinary kind of day. And you're just walking down the street. Just walking down the street. And you go by a gas station. And some guy, some greasy, stupid, ugly, cock-carrying male walks out of the driveway and blocks you as you try to walk down the sidewalk and he says, look here, baby, 7 inches. You pull out that gun, stick the barrel on his nose and say, I got 8, motherfucker! I got 8! There. Now you're really speaking in terms he can identify. Look, he takes advantage of you, you're entitled. Your sex is hidden, protected, out of sight. The man swings and dangles. The man is exposed. The man has a rock star between his legs. The man has something there that he doesn't want to part with. No way, no how. And don't you think it kind of looks a bit silly and impractical hanging there like someone's idea of a bad joke or something? Girls, it's just asking to be ripped from its face. Begging for it. And let him know that you know this. Make casual jokes about neutering male cats. At dinner, pick your steak knife and make small scooping motions. You'll know what you're talking about, believe me. When it's copulation time, lay down some heavy vibes to let him know just where it's at. Slowly, seductively, take your hand and stroke his thigh. Take your time, smile, look into his eyes, inch your hand closer. Now, your hand is right on top of his chalky shorts. Gently grasp it. Look into his eyes. Lick your lips slowly, very slowly. Then open your mouth wide, wider. Pull your lips back to show your teeth. Now, snap down your jaws really hard. Hard, girls. Enough to sever. Okay. Now, take him into the bedroom. You're the boss. The night is yours. You have brains. Take it from here. I hope I have shed some light on some solutions to a most irritating problem. Titles for half this shit is such bullshit. That's, in that other book I wrote this one thing, and I couldn't figure out a title for it, so I called the thing, I took a shower with Ezra Pound. And I don't even know what the fuck Ezra Pound is. Okay. This thing is called Periods and What If. Okay. I overheard these girls talking with some guys about general stuff, and something I thought was real cool was this girl complaining about having to shell out money for each period. She said that my doll and tampon should be given away in welfare boxes. And I had never thought of that before. It seems like a fair shake to me. I mean, you guys, I mean, what if you had to put out a dime every time you took a piss? It would be nothing at first, but after a while, those dimes would start to pile up, and you might try and hold out to make that dime go a little bit further. Imagine saying, fuck, I spent a buck on urine today. What if you were into beer? What if you were out of money? What if you had to write a check? What if you had to use a credit card? What if you had to say, brother, can you spare a dime? I got a piss. Oh, forget it. It's called What a Gal. What a Gal. So there I was walking down Artesia Boulevard, crossing Aviation Boulevard, looking at the Denny's restaurant in the parking lot. And I was thinking to myself, ooh, wee, wouldn't I like to have my cock in some girl's mouth right now? That's indeed I would. I kept on walking down Artesia Boulevard thinking about that. And then I thought, what a great thing would be if a guy could shoot Kraft Cheese Whiz instead of cum. Wouldn't it be a bit more pleasant, a bit more palatable, even appetizing? So months later, I'm in Washington, D.C., walking down Wisconsin Avenue with this beautiful girl, a great girl. I often get very excited in her presence, and I jump up and down and say, you're great! Look at you! As I shake her by her shoulders, she just blushes and covers her face with her hands. This girl is fine. She drives my ass insane. Anyway, we're walking down the street. I'm walking down the street with this fine girl who's so fine that she's steaming, and I got my arm around her waist, and I'm thinking to myself, fuck, I don't need to eat. I don't need to sleep. All I need is this. And anyway, we're crossing Ann Street, and I turn to her, and I ask her if she would prefer Cheese Whiz to come. And she says, fine with me, as long as the guy brought some crackers. That was the coolest thing I had heard all week. What a great day. What a gal.
But on a way more serious note, I'll just relay this one quick little story of this guy I met about 2 weeks ago in Houston, Texas. I was doing this piece of shit that I'm doing now at the Lawndale Arch Annex. And I had like this many people in there, except unlike this place, it's very quiet. And that's what everyone was saying, everyone from. No, they didn't say that. They're not going to say that in Texas.
And this is called Olivia! With an exclamation point. Olivia! Okay. When I was in third grade, one of my only non-black classmates was a beautiful olive-skinned girl named Olivia. The name Olivia makes me think of a few different images.
The people of Olivia, an ancient tribe that remained a mystery to us. The Olivians, what happened? Where did they go?
Olivia, a nation in turmoil.
Olivia, a mysterious tarot card reader who hides her face behind a veil of lies and deceit. And lastly,
the female Olivia bores into the flesh of living animals to deposit her eggs. The larva will consume the muscle fat and tissue of the animal, and when fully developed, will bore through the flesh to the outside.
So, there I was on the swing in the schoolyard, swinging away, hoping that recess would go by without my ass getting kicked. I always picked the swings because I figured they couldn't get their hands on you if you kept moving. Like I said, I was swinging, and I was humming the tune from Ultraman. And that's a really cool tune to hum when you're swinging. Ding, 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 ding. It's, you know, you can swing with it. So anyhow, it's a really cool tune to hum when you're swinging. And I was pumping with my legs, and good old little Olivia walks by, and my feet went forward in time with the Ultraman theme, and knocked out her four front teeth on the top row. Oh, well. And one interesting note, it's been about 15 years since I saw her or something, and Olivia is here tonight, so let's all give her a round of applause. This is great! This is great! This is great! This is great! I'm lying! I'm lying!
And while we're on this topic, this is for Exene and Galas. Madonna, she makes you want to drink beer. She makes you want to drive fast and go bowling. She makes you want to shop at Sears. She makes you want to kick vegetarians. When I see her, I know that she's singing to me. I know that she wants to get nasty with me. When I see her eyes, when I see her lips telling me to come on, I get to feeling mean. I get the feeling like I want to do a whole lot of push-ups or go to a hardware store. And then I gotta cool down, man. I gotta cool down. And it's either gonna be a cold shower or a Bruce Springsteen record. I killed this cat. The last cat I killed, I remember. About a year and a half ago, I was in this car that was parked outside of SST. I was hanging out with this girl. Anyhow, the cat comes walking across the street towards our car. Another car was passing by and it squashed part of the cat's guts out. The cat rolled underneath the car and started to flail around. Seemed like the poor puss was still alive. The girl started to really bum out. I got out of the car and grabbed the bloody, writhing cat out from underneath and snapped its neck with my hands. I recognized the cat. It belonged to some rednecks across the street. I took the cat over to the house and knocked on the door. This big old dude opens it, and I said that his cat was hit by a car, and here it was, pretty much in all one long, steaming piece. The guy didn't take it too well. His woman, or whatever the hell that thing was, came to the door and started freaking out pretty bad. He said, "Get it out of here!" I just smiled and said, "Okay." I dumped it on the front lawn of their apartment complex. I walked into the bathroom at SST and washed the blood and guts and cat hair off me. I hate the South Bay.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
I'm selling encyclopedias. Excuse me. Hello.
Netflix.
They're a rock band. They're a band of many colors, many tribes.
You sure?
It's more than just a band. It's more than a movement. It's more than it's more than my feeble mind
super.
Can handle. It's super duper. Do you have that word in your country? Super duper.
Right now.
Right now, we're both experiencing the super duper sounds of Henry Rollins coming at you live from Vangendingen, baby.
Hey.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Your manager.
My manager.
For Black Flag.
Oh, he doesn't exist. We don't have one.
How is it done?
How's it done? How's it done? Well, the first time I ever heard about how it was done, when I was about 11 years old, and I learned it from a three-dimensional doggy named Jaime. And Jaime said, "Henry," I said, "Yeah, Jaime." And Jaime said, "Henry, I need to show you the facts of life."
Uh-huh. And Jaime?
And so Jaime turned me on to, "Oh, what's happening?" And he's a three-dimensional dog that lives in my mind. And if you can follow that, you can follow just about anything. Oh, my God, why do I...
I could never see playing football. I never did any of that shit. I always did other things. What is it, fellas? What is it about the football that's really happening? Going out there and rubbing yourself with other guys? Or the shoulder pads to make you look cool or something? Or the, I don't know, the helmets are kind of like motorcycle helmets that you do to get you to get on the motorcycle so you just get the other thing instead? Or, I already know. Girls, I already know what the attraction is. It's the showers. It's the showers after the game, after the practice. Think about it. Steam rising. Lots of hot, sweaty, muscly young men. Hot, steaming water pulsating off tired, strained, mud-grass-covered muscles. Young men soaking each other and laughing hearty laughter. Ha 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 ha. What are you motherfuckers doing? Come on, man, let's huddle. Is that the answer? Like, hey, Biff, pass the soap. I'll go long. Whoops. Dropped it. Coach!
I hate the way pregnant women walk. They waddle. I think
pregnant women should be made to wear tuxedos. Then they could look like penguins. They look like bovine ambassadors. Childbearing ends a female's good looks. That kid busts those hips wide open. Hey, fellas, imagine you trying to shit a watermelon. What do you think that would do to you? What if your breasts filled with Budweiser? I think it would be cool if a man had to swallow a ball of silicon rubber for each month of his wife's pregnancy. She's got to drag around all this extra weight. Where does the guy get off just holding her hand and smiling? If he ate big lumps of silicon, then he and his wife would match. They could have side-by-side beds in the delivery room. She could bleed and scream bloody murder as the child passed out of her, and the guy could howl and moan and deliver 9 balls of silicon into the world through his ass. When it was all over, they could look over at each other and smile weakly. Sound fair, ladies? Good. But I want to show you that after I finish this next thing, you will realize that I am your best friend. I'm the only friend that's a male in this whole goddamn house. This thing called Men Are Pigs. Goes like this. Oh, babe. You gotta be good to your man. He works so hard for you, babe. He wants to be a good dog for you, baby. He wants to call you baby. Mama. He works so motherfucking hard for you, baby. You gotta make him feel good. It's your responsibility to make him feel good. You gotta take him by the hand. Take him into the bedroom. You gotta make him feel good. You know how. Use your mouth. Mm-hmm. Now, he's laying down on the bed, and you're making him feel good. You're using your mouth, and you're making him feel good. Listen to his breathing. In, out. Yeah, he's breathing hard and calling you baby and patting you on your head. Reach up, slowly reach up higher, higher underneath the pillow. Get the knife, cut it off, the whole thing, cut it off. Now, go into the kitchen, wash that shit out of your mouth, ladies, my God. Men are pigs, cut it off, do it tonight. Men are pigs. Now, get an envelope. Get a pen. Write on the envelope, Henry Rollins, P.O. Box 2461, Redondo Beach, California, 90278. Put it in an envelope. Send it to me. Do it tonight. Ladies, no one understands you like I do.
Thank you.
casual one-liner. You can use it at parties, and it's a good joke. And if you want to use it, say you made it up, but be careful how you use it. Because in some places it'll get you a line or a laugh or a pat on the shoulder, and in other places it can get your cranium caved in. If you took every person that would jump off a cliff if you told them to, you know that kind of person. If Edward jumped off a cliff, I suppose you would too. Fuck yeah! Everyone would jump off a cliff if you told them to. Find this big old cliff and march them all off, then you know what? All the Bruce Springsteen and U2 tickets in the world would go unsold. Now, that's all well and good, and you're not usually gonna get some guy or girl up in arms about their U2 cool, you know? You know, all you'll get is like some, I don't know, someone on a bummer going like, oh, but Bono bleeds with every song, with every lyric. He bleeds right through his leather pants, his bubble butt, and all that. That guy's got a bubble ass, man. Bubble, you wore some bubble butts, you shouldn't be wearing tight pants. You look like Billy Joel, man. But you fuck with someone's Bruce Springsteen cool, and you can get wounded, man. Because that dude is definitely breeding some fucking idiocy. I really feel, okay, I was always like, when I was younger, I would always really feel sorry for any guy who would go to see a Styx concert. Can you imagine a guy getting into that shit? It would be so cool to like hang out at the LA Forum and while they're going into the Styx show and just pick out every guy and just go, excuse me, sir? Yeah? Oh, God! You're such an asshole! Oh, man! And I feel the same way about the girls who go to see a Bruce Springsteen show. Any dude who moves like... Girls, he doesn't even want to know what's underneath your drawers. Guys like that don't fuck. I don't know what they do. I think they read Newsweek instead.
Oh, I don't fuck. I read Newsweek.
But there's nothing happening at that shit.
I'll read a couple of more things and I'll let you be on your way.
This summer, I gained new employment. I now write for the Village Voice. And I just gotten back from 15 straight weeks of rocking the nation with Black Flag. I was in my 80-acre estate in Malibu, kicking back poolside. Dozens of scantily clad blondes frolicking all over my place. I don't even know their names anymore. There's so many of them there. I just go, hi, honey. And that seems to work, be the universal name for all of them. So I'm hanging out poolside. Sting was going to come over. He was having a nervous breakdown, losing hair. Says, Henry, I'm on the rails. I got to come up with a solo album. I don't have an idea in my head. I said, come on over. We'll go downstairs to my 48-track home studio. And you and I will cook up a demo, and we'll get you happening, and I'll help you out. And he said, hey, I really appreciate it. And I know you wrote Synchronicity for me. And I know I lean on you really hard, and I don't give you any credit on the records, and I don't even pay you, but you're a real pal, and I really appreciate if you could help me. I said, hey, Sting Baby, it's cool. Just come on over. And I started even thinking of a name. I was looking out over the deep blue sea, and I said, a dream. I was dreaming. Dream of the blue... Sting Baby, the dream of the blue turtles. Get it in your mind, get it going, and come on over to the house. And so I was waiting on Sting, and the phone rings. Poolside. And this scantily clad thing brings it over to me. I said, thanks, honey. And I go, yeah? And they go, someone says, Henry Baby. I go, okay, an industry type, fine. This is Doug Simmons at the Village Voice. I said, yeah. What, you want me to be on the cover again so you can like sell a few million copies? Save your sagging newspaper again? He goes, no, there's a great demand on your amazing journalistic talent. And we want you to do a review of the AC/DC record Fly on the Wall. And you're just the man for it. I said, look, I don't have time to be playing around with these nickel and dime rags. Guy goes, look, we'll give you $250,000 if you will write us 1,000 words on Fly on the Wall. I said, oh, come on, Doug! Where's that coming from? $250,000. What's that going to do for me? So I go, okay. It'll only take me 10 minutes anyhow. So I hung up and I had to go into the city to go buy the album. I don't like going into the city much. I usually have my servants go in, but they're all off for the day. And, you know, women can't drive anyhow. I didn't want to put any of the scantily clad blonde things behind the wheel. So anyhow, I put on a large trench coat, a big hat. I got one of those pairs of sunglasses that have the nose and beard and mustache all attached, except I couldn't find a regular nose. I had to get one of those ones with a big dick nose. So I put that on, and I put on the hat and the trench coat, and I walked into to Music Plus on over near the lingerie. And I walked in, and I got the Fly on the Wall, I put it on the counter, and I threw a 10 down. The guy goes, oh, Fly on the Wall, Henry? Well. I said, oh, shit. And he goes, oh, yeah, I have to redo it for a newspaper. He goes, okay, well, that's really cool. See ya, Henry Rollins, with your new AC/DC album. I said, oh, shit. So I made it back to my limo right before I nearly got my clothes torn off by several scantily clad blondes who were all in the suit. But old Doug said, you know, we want you to do the Henry thing to your article, but at some point, please try and mention the record. Please try and talk about the record at some point in the review of the record. And I said, I think I can squeeze him in for a line or two. So anyhow, I'm going to read you the first half of this review, because it deals with something that's really happening, me. And I'm not going to read you the second half, because it's about AC/DC. Fuck them, man. But anyhow, this got printed about 2 weeks ago, and I'll read it to you. It goes like this. Oh, yes! I will never forget this story. It was the winter of 1981. I was living in Washington, D.C. At the time, I was working at the Haagen-Dazs at 1426 Wisconsin Avenue down in Georgetown. There was a real nice stereo in that place. Two big speakers were in the ceiling, pointing down at the floor. During store hours, our boss Steve made us play light rock so the customers could rock lightly while they purchased their ice cream. Closing time belonged to us. We would have to clean that place spotless before we could go home. We needed something that would make us clean hard. Dirt was to be totally annihilated. We didn't clean. We kicked dirt's ass is what we did. All hard activity needs rhythm. We had it. When that door would close at 2 a.m., we would wire up Chris's tape deck into the stereo system and crank the tunes. AC/DC's Back in Black was our soundtrack for the impending spick and span apocalypse. We would turn that thing so loud that our barely post-teen testes would groan. You Shook Me was playing, and we were kicking down the highway to hygiene when all of a sudden we heard a crash. One of the speakers had fallen out of the ceiling and had self-destructed on the brick floor. Well, now it's 1985. I'm still here, and so is AC/DC. I have in front of me the band's new LP, Fly on the Wall. Let's check out what the boys are talking about this year. We're going to get into some lyrics now. Got a screaming feeling. Need a little love and healing. Gotta have some of that stuff. Calls, I like a hot touch. I want a little teasing. Now what does that mean? Does that mean you're about to stick it in, and the girl goes, don't. No, I don't want it. No, I do. No, don't. No, do it. Put it in right now. No, don't. No, I like you. I don't know. Or let me, you're about to stick it in, and then the girl puts on a rubber mask and goes, okay, put it in. No, don't. Dude, don't. Oh, I don't know.
Is that teasing? Oh, man, don't tease me. Just let me have it. Let me have a bite. I don't want to be teased.
Maybe wrong, maybe right, but I like it every night. Come on, baby, down my way. We gonna make it night and day.
That's an excerpt from the AC/DC song First Blood. Now, at first I thought First Blood was, you know, Rambo, kill, and I said, okay, fine. But then I started thinking about it. AC/DC, fast cars, 16-year-old girls, public high school, okay, First Blood. I'm slow, I easily miss that. But that's a real drag, like taking rock lyrics and taking them away from the context of the music, you know, 80,000 decibels and the snare beat with the rhythm and everything, because they look a little silly all by themselves. And they sound a lot more together when they're coming at you through speakers. And to do that to a band is cheap, petty journalism. It's just low. I mean, anyone who does that obviously has no talent whatsoever. Here's some more. She had the sugar, and I had the wine. Fighting on Main Street, like a bitch making heat. This ain't a gun in my pocket. Red lights are flashing. We had the night. We had the time. Red lights still flashing. What the fuck is that? Some kind of surrealist cock rock? No! It was me! I took lines from the first four songs on the A side and strung them all together! Now that was mean and nasty and petty and low. Here's some more. I'm saying this to all you bitches. I've got a monster in my britches. I like to rock. And I ain't no phony. So get on down and chew my balloon. And that is, you must admit, that's the best lines of all their songs. And you know what? They didn't even write that when I did. And it got printed a few weeks ago in full. The whole thing got printed. And I didn't get $250,000. I got $125,000, and I jumped on it like a hungry pooch jumps for Alpo, man. A real short piece, no big deal. This is what I would do if I get to run the world. And everyone wants to run the world. Well, it's okay to admit it. If you don't, you should be working for me. I got a job for you. There's a few changes I would make. No big deal. I'm in the favor of the right to bear arms. Guns. Yeah. Shiny new guns. Fine. I'd like to take it a little bit further. Everyone should have the right to bear nuclear arms. A revolver under every pillow. A silo in every backyard. If it was up to me, I'd like to change things around a little. I'd have every Caucasian male castrated, except for me. The police would be taken to black and Mexican districts and beaten 3 times a day. Finally, they would have to crawl on their hands and knees through Watts. You would not be allowed to drive your car. Unless you were intoxicated, signs would read, "If you don't drink, don't drive." Drug abuse would be mandatory in all states. Live sex in every classroom. All students would be de-virginized by the age of 11 by any sex partner they chose. Any. There would be one and only one version of the national anthem.
Hendrix at Woodstock. All ministers would be required to drop large quantities of LSD 3 to 5 times a week. They say they see God, I want to make damn sure. All cigarettes would be splattered with angel dust. Nothing like a little dust to get the party really rolling. All TV religious figures would be required to enter mud wrestling matches with MTV personalities. Anyone caught stepping on or harming cockroaches in any way whatsoever would be shot. Any children, hey kids, any children that look good enough to be eaten will be. Public parks in all states will provide barbecue spits in all outdoor areas for this purpose. Porno stars would be sent to the UN. Madonna would buy me a pad in Malibu and seek me desperately. The time is now. Turn on. Take over. Let's get cancerous.
Henry, would you do one of your poems, please?
Okay. One thing. I don't do any poems. I mean, I hate that word. Doesn't it sound icky?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it sound like a disease or something? I mean.
So what's a better word then?
Stuff.
Stuff. Let's do some stuff.
Get into some stuff.
Okay.
This is really great. I don't know how many of you people in Radio Land can understand me, but we're sitting in a really, really nice room with a bunch of really nice people, and there's some really, really great people here today. And you've heard them on and off. They've been doing some live stuff. And, you know, I really would like to thank all of you for just being you. And believe me, take it from Henry Rollins. Don't ever change, because I love every one of you, and you're all doing a great job. Okay.
That was one example of your stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Do one other.
Okay, I'll do one more. My father died. He just died. He died in the wintertime. I can almost imagine his face in death, the eyes slightly turned upward, looking like almost every victim I've ever seen of one of the prisoners of the Nazi death camps. He died in the wintertime. Doesn't that seem much nicer to you, like a lot cleaner way to go? Like, you can almost imagine your old man dying in the summertime and seeing his body swelling up and blowing juice out or something in the month of August or something, but no, he died in the wintertime. I didn't go to the funeral. I didn't go to any of the events that preceded the funeral. I missed the two events that I would have liked to have been present at. The first one, his last breath. I would have liked to have been so close to his face on his last breath that he would have breathed right on me. I would have sucked in every single solitary particle of his last breath, and I would have held it for as long as I could, and then I would have expelled it into a jar for later use. You know, I could put it up on the mantelpiece and say, see that? That's my old man's breath. Sucked it out of his face myself. The other thing I missed was the autopsy. I would have loved to have seen his body mutilated in cold, brutal, precise surgical fashion. In my dream, I hover above his emaciated corpse. He looks stupid. He looks pathetic. He looks like dog meat. I hate patheticness. I descend from my perch above and kick in his rib cage with my steel cap boots. The coroner, who is conducting the investigation, waves me off and asks me to kindly refrain from destroying the corpse until he has finished his investigation. Respecting a job that needs to be done, I sit in a folding chair and read Mad Magazine. But it's very hard for me to concentrate on the contents of the magazine because the cutting and squeezing of my father's corpse is captivating. I ask to help. I am told I can't help, as it is normal policy for the civilian to have no part in autopsy proceedings. If I had my way, I would have asked the coroner for my father's dead heart. I would have wrapped it up in tin foil, thrown it in the back of my Peugeot, driven it to my 80-acre estate in Malibu Beach, California, a place that has lots of hot-looking women with blonde hair that looks like a Van Halen dream or something. But anyhow, I would have taken the heart back to my pad, and I would have cooked it in a hearty bouillon. I would have invited a few friends over, and we could sip mineral water and eat leafy green salads and talk about small, non-important matters, and then for the finale, we could dine on my father's heart. And I think that would be a spiritual and intimate send-off. But it would take a lot of intestinal fortitude on my part, because I am a vegetarian. But the opportunity to dine on my father's heart is one that is irresistible to me. The end. I wrote that when I was in third grade! Do you believe that? I'm 24 years old. I wrote that when I was 11. No clapping! Don't! No clapping! No clapping! I just want to see all of you dropping your jeans right now. Can you say that on radio?
Anything, okay, anything. Mr. Rome. We're anything. Artists. We're in Holland, we're you know. We're in Holland. Oké, tot zover de les anatomie waarvoor nog enkele doorzetters zijn achtergebleven van de klasse uit Oud-Beijerland.
Pretty heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff, yeah.
Benjamin Zephaniah en Henry Rollins, die er zojuist worden, kun je allebei vanavond zien performen, oftewel optreden in de Amsterdamse Melkweg. En hier is Lou Reed. When I was a young
man. Wow, that was weird. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that.
Pretty weird.
That was really weird.
I know. It was weird. It was strange. And all that dick stuff.
Yeah. Like, he's obsessed with
penis.
Castrating men.
And penis.
And
penis.
He wants to get the dicks in the mail?
Yeah, FedEx, I think. Maybe he wanted them FedEx.
He wants to get a P.O. box full of dicks.
You know, I have a P.O. box, and mine would not fit that many dicks.
This is weird.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like five or six smallish ones.
Anyway,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, Henry.
Yeah, well, moving right along, folks. I'm sorry for all the confusion. I'm sorry that I did not fully manage that correspondence well enough between Henry and us, and that I confused Henry and Henry.
Steve, come on. Steve, we've been over this. It's entirely venial. I mean, let it go, buddy. You're a good reader. You really are. You're good.
Well, I don't know. I'm just sorry I've sort of lying down the job here in terms of booking guests and stuff, I guess. And also in terms of, you know, this isn't totally my fault. It's Nicholas's fault too, but in terms of bailing on last week's episode, people, I'm sorry.
Come on, Steve. Let's be fair, it was mostly your fault. I mean, I was here at the K-Chung Studios the day after Christmas with our guest waiting for you. Which, I might add, the guest was the lead programmer from the game Street Fighter, which was pretty cool. Once we realized you weren't coming, we went over to Hop Louie's and he gave me the whole talk, and it was really amazing. Although, we drank way too much brandy, and I should warn our loyal Chinatown listeners, the brandy at Hop Louie's really sucks.
Nicholas and I can do better. We're going to do better. We're going to do better all year because it's the new year and it's time to make resolutions. So this year, 2013, Nicholas and I are going to do better.
That's right. Water under the bridge, 2012. 2013, here we come.
That's right. We're going to do the best goddamn talking show you've ever heard in your life.
That's right. You thought you knew talking? Wait till 2013.
Best talking show we've ever goddamn done.
Yep.
In our whole frickin' lives.
Tell him, Steve. Tell him, Steve.
You're gonna go blind. It's gonna be so good.
Yep. Yeah.
You're gonna go blind through your ears.
Blind through your ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, you're gonna know so much about talking. You're gonna go to Silver Lake. You'll be in line intelligentsia. You'll talk the shit out of everybody in line. You'll be talking like everything.
Anyway, join us again next week as we begin a new season of The Talking Show on K-Chung Radio, Los Angeles' only, first, and best micro-broadcasting radio station in Chinatown. Affectionately yours, Steve Cato
and Nicholas G. Miller.
Signing off.
Good night, everyone. Sleep tight.